What's up, everybody? This is The Specifist, and using a different recording app for now. I'm just testing different things because I'm curious to see the loudness and whatnot. So anyways, figured I'd do this episode because I talked about a little bit of this yesterday. So wanted to do this one because it's really important. Ooh, to do. It's thundering out. That's how it is, as you might be able to hear. And this is going to be like the basic episode of why you shouldn't trust your emotions, or why trusting your emotions gets you into trouble, or something along those lines. And there's so many examples of this I can give you. It's craziness. because, you know, typically what I've noticed will happen is that you have a response, anger or upset or depression or sadness or whatever it is, loneliness, love, hate, frustration, whatever it is. And instead of questioning it within your mind, what you do is you kind of give in to it and you listen to it implicitly. This isn't something that you're still even doing consciously. This is a big problem. Is you're not actually doing this consciously. It's a very unconscious process. An emotion happens and boom, you're basically feeding the emotion with your thoughts at that point. That's usually how it works. It's very much an implicit trust in the emotion and what it says that you're not aware of. And it, not just an implicit trust, but an implicit going with the emotion kind of thing. And we can get into so many examples of this. It's so crazy to me how easy it is for people to trust their emotions and how much that actually gets them into a lot of trouble. And so you what will happen is you'll have these emotions and you will give in to those emotions. I don't know how this happened to me. And I don't know how this is so annoying. And my life is not going the way I want it to. Like, what is going on here in life? And life sucks, and all these things suck, and everything sucks, and, you know, this kind of stuff. It's kind of crazy to me, because you look around you, and if you are listening to what your thoughts and emotions are telling you, especially your thoughts when they're under the influence of your emotions, they'll tell you that you're a failure, or they'll tell you that you're a loser, or they'll tell you that you're not perfect. That all these other people that you're looking at on Facebook or social media or whatever have these perfect pictures. Like, why isn't your life like this? This kind of thing. Because it's based on lies. It's based on misinformation. Because what your emotions are doing is it's looking only in one direction. And there's so many fucking examples I could give you of this. It's crazy to me. And this is what I really want to do as an episode, as a series, really, is just to help you to become aware of these different fucking problems. And to help you, I do want to do a deep episode on how to find your own inner barometer as well, for other reasons as well, which we can get into. But, you know, this is one of the most, to me, fundamental actions of somebody, is to learn how to just listen to their emotions without trusting them, without giving into them, without necessarily believing that what their emotions are telling you is true, and without necessarily believing what their thoughts are telling you is true. But the problem is a lot of that is happening unconsciously. Like, if you think about it for a little bit, you go like, oh yeah, you're right, emotions aren't telling me what is true. But in those moments, you're not aware of this. And so implicitly, that's what you're telling yourself. And on one hand, on your reasoning hand, when you're not in an emotional state, you realize if I brought it up to your attention like I'm doing now, you'll be like, oh yeah, but David, I know emotions aren't necessarily equal truth. But like, when something happens to you and you get frustrated or you get sad or you get annoyed or whatever it is, you trust that implicitly without you realizing what you're doing, because it's unconscious. And so your rationality is secondary to your emotional responses. That's because you're not conscious of your emotional responses. or you're not conscious of how those emotional responses are influencing you in the present moment. It's fucking powerful to actually become aware of these emotional responses and how they're actually influencing you in the present moment. But it means that you will go against certain things and you will notice things that may not actually be true in real life. And you will notice that they're not actually as true in real life as you might have originally believed. Oh my God, there's so many examples. The thing about this to me is that it's not like it's just like one or two examples. It's like almost every single example of an emotion that you might have is skewing in only one direction. So I want to give you some examples of how this is and what emotions are applied to this, because there's so many of them, like all of them really, but especially the stronger ones will do this. So first example is love. Oh, but David, I'm in love with this person. That must mean something, right? That must mean I must listen to this emotion of love and all this kind of stuff. You know, maybe not. You know, the answer actually is, to me, is actually much more fucking counterintuitive, which is that your love for this person might actually be blinding you to only the positive aspects of this person. Number one, maybe because they're not showing you everything, not because they're like doing that on purpose. They're not actually showing themselves. Maybe because of fears from the past that are making them not show everything, or maybe they are partially showing everything, but you're not necessarily even becoming aware of how much they're actually showing, and things like this. And so if you are in love with this person, you might have this fantasy of this person in your head that's not necessarily true, and that fantasy is something that your emotions exploit within you, and then you kind of get, it's almost like your emotions are like manipulators. Like, oh, you're in love with this person. It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. It's everything you dreamed of. And until you realize one day you wake up and you go, oh my God, I'm in love with an asshole. I'm not saying it's going to be that extreme necessarily, but like, what I've noticed will typically happen at this point once they wake up is they realize that they're not in a perfect relationship, and nothing they've managed to do so far has actually landed them in this perfect relationship. And so they will leave that relationship thinking that the problem is the relationship, thinking that the problem is the person. But actually, no, the problem is the emotion of love. The problem is that the emotion of love has blinded them with fantasies of what should be, but what isn't. What they think should be, what they think is their knight in shining armor, or whatever it is. Because that's how emotions work. Most emotions only skew in one direction, the direction the emotions are pointing towards. And so if it's the emotion of love, the emotions will be showing you things that affirm your standards, your desires for love, whatever those might be. but like, this is the deep problem with emotions. See what most people will do at this point is they'll be like, well, David, no, but you're ruining my preconceptions of love, and like, but love is such a beautiful thing, like you're ruining that for me. Like, that's exactly right. That's why your emotions are evil, able to, I was going to say your emotions are evil. I wouldn't say evil, but your emotions are able to manipulate you so well. That's why. That's how emotions work. This is why you cannot trust emotions. The reason number one is love. I can't believe how many people never see this in their lives. In a lot of ways, love is kind of an illusion. And I don't even just mean like it's an illusion because it's just chemicals in the brain or whatever science says love is. That's part of it. But there's also another part of it as well, where oftentimes what I've noticed when it comes to the ones that you love, and I'm not even really talking about romantic relationships, but it definitely applies more to this than other things. When it comes to friendships and stuff like this, but it more applies to romantic stuff. what I've noticed is that there is this idea you have in your head, the fantasy, and then there's reality. And the fantasy is what you see in reality, even if it's not really true in actuality. So your emotions are misleading you. They're leading you astray. Not that what the emotions are pointing to is actually false. It's not necessarily like it's what the emotions are pointing to you towards is absolutely incorrect or anything. But the problem is it's only one part of the entire spectrum. And so the example that I gave last night is a perfect example of this. So imagine seeing a cat in a store, a pet store or whatever, and going like, oh, such a cute kitty or whatever. And you're like, I want to get this cat. This cat looks so cute and sweet and cuddly and all that stuff. You get the cat. Before you know it, he's pissing everywhere. He's shitting everywhere. Typically speaking, though, with cats, the litter box, they are able to, they usually hide their shit. And you know, they usually will hide their piss unless they're angry at you, in which case they will piss next to the litter box. And instead of in the litter box, they might scratch your furniture. They might not be as cuddly with you as you might actually want them to be. And so you pick them up and they get angry and they might scratch you because they actually don't like being picked up. They don't mind coming to you eventually, but they want to come to you at their own terms. But you, seeing the cute and cuddliness of this cat, don't see that. You don't see this other side that I'm pointing you towards. And so when I show you this, you go like, oh no, but you're ruining my expectations of what this cat is going to be like. You know, when people say you're ruining my childhood, this is what it means. This is why people's childhoods are ruined. It's not because their childhoods are actually ruined. It's because their emotions only skewed in one direction. That's the problem. This is why you cannot trust emotions at all. Doesn't mean that you don't suppress emotions and you hide emotions and you try to like get rid of them. It just means that you cannot trust what they're telling you as true. And as a matter of fact, because you are not actually aware of the emotions in that moment, you're not aware of how they're skewing you in this one direction. And so it's almost like you're doing this game of opposites. Like you notice the emotion, you notice what the emotion is pointing you to, like, oh, such a cute, cuddly kitty. And then think of the opposite, try to notice the opposite. Oh, well, this cat's going to be pissing everywhere. He's going to be shitting everywhere. He might be scratching at my furniture. You know, he might not be as cuddly as I want him to be, whatever it is, right? That's what it's all about, really. But people, like, they listen to that and they go like, oh, but you're ruining my ideas and expectations of what a cat should be. It's like, well, no, this is just what reality is. If you don't like what reality is, that's, you know, I can't help you. I can't help you. If you want to live your life stuck in your illusions, go ahead. I'm not going to stop you. But if you actually want to live your life without being overwhelmed, because the reason why you're overwhelmed by shit in life is because you're not actually doing this. You're not actually looking at your emotions and not trusting what they're telling you. Because the emotions are only seeing one side of the issue. See, this is why it's so uncommon to actually be a Sigma. Yeah, I've been talking a lot about being a Sigma in these past couple episodes. This is why it's so uncommon to be a Sigma, because literally to be a Sigma is to be contrary to popular opinion. This is why I've said before that 99% of all popular opinions are wrong. This is why. This is what's causing this. But of course, if you want to stay in your illusions, ain't nothing stopping you. Like, no amount of me telling you what is true is going to stop you from believing what is false. Like, I lived my life with that kind of bullshit before as well. where I was stuck in my illusions. Oh no, we must live in a world, and we must live in this ideal world or whatever it is. Well, we're not in this ideal world, so yeah, you can either ignore that or you can become aware of it and come to grips with it. And when you are able to become aware and come to grips with it, you're able to become less overwhelmed, you're able to suffer less, you're able to enter peace more and shit like this. So love, we talk about love, right? So anger is very interesting. So you might be like, well, okay, so you ruined my illusions of love. What about anger? What about frustration? Like, aren't they pointing to something that is true? And so this is where we get into some problems, because what is actually true? And for, well, I don't want to even go into that, really, because that's a deeper episode. So the first thing I want to point out is, like I've said before, what emotions are doing is they're pointing only in one direction. And so if you're angry at something, you're going to only see the things that make you angry about this thing. So you see the way somebody is, and you might think, because you're angry, that they're doing this thing deliberately to make you angry, you know, things like this, or that they're doing this because they're evil, or because they're racist, or because they're whatever it is that triggers you, whatever it is that pushes your buttons emotionally, physically, mentally, whatever it is, right? This is how your emotions work. If you thought of emotions as like a mental manipulation button, it'd actually be kind of correct in a lot of ways. This is why you cannot trust your emotions. You cannot trust your anger. So this does not mean to, I don't know how many times I'm going to say this in this episode, but it's important to say this, because I know people are going to have this in their head now that, oh, well, you're saying the emotions are the enemy. No. This does not mean you must like resist the emotion. You must try to get rid of the emotion. You must try to suppress / deny the emotion. It's literally about becoming aware of the emotion and becoming aware of how the emotion it could be and is skewing you in this moment. If you don't think that emotion is skewing you towards a certain direction, it's pointing you only in one direction, you're not looking hard enough. You're not seeing the truth deep enough. And this is why you suffer. This is why your life is so fucking difficult. You know, we don't have to have such difficult lives, but we do, because we listen to our emotions. Oh, but David, you don't know how hard it is doing what I do. I work a lot. I work 16-hour days. Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm not saying that like what you do is easy, but a lot of the difficulties that you're dealing with have more to do with your emotional state than anything else. Your emotions and your thoughts that are based on these now emotions are saying, oh, but my boss is an asshole, and this person's an asshole, and this part of my job is an asshole, and all these things are annoying around me, and these things are happening, and these things are happening that are just ridiculous, like they don't know what they're doing, and things like this. Because, and because that's the case for you in these kinds of jobs, that's why your job sucks to you. That's why your job is difficult to you. Because you're literally faced with your emotions pointing in one direction, the direction of resistance, the direction of anger, the direction of ingratitude, the direction of disappointment, frustration, whatever it is, right? It's so fucking deep right there. One of the big problems that you might notice if you're really, really, really aware is that what your emotions typically speaking do is, so the way that it typically works is something happens, the emotion happens, you then kind of react to the emotion, and you think that whatever this thing was caused the emotion or is the cause of your problems. But really what's the cause of your problems is the emotion itself. That's the problem. And because you're not seeing the true cause of your problem, you're not going to fix that true cause of your problem. And so you're never going to see it. You're never going to be able to change your life because you're going to think all the problems are out there somewhere when they're not. The problems are inside. The problems are your emotions. Doesn't mean that you could anger your emotions and like try to like, you know, degrade your emotions. Like, oh, how dare my emotions exist? No, that's using your emotions against your emotions. It doesn't really fix the problem either. You have to literally become aware of your emotions and to stop listening and to them, which literally means just becoming aware of them and just doubting what they're telling you and doubting what your thoughts are telling you while they're under the influence of this emotion. If you thought of emotions as like an alcohol or a drug or something, you'd actually be right. People don't realize this, but your emotions are like drugs. And I'm not even talking about the good kind of drugs. Like, you might have a drug that you might be addicted to, like morphine or heroin or something. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel good, makes you feel safe, whatever. These emotions, especially the negative ones, are not like this necessarily, but they're still influencing you negatively. You know, it's kind of like having physical pain. Imagine like you have a lot of physical pain for some reason, and then one day it stops. What happens? Relief happens. That's what happens when negative emotions are gone. Relief happens. There's no need to do anything about it at that point, except to just notice it. Notice the difference. Anyways, that's a different episode. I don't want to go get too ahead of here. So, pause this for a second and I'll come back. And so, yeah, your boss might actually be difficult. You might actually find yourself in a job where that's kind of happening. Or you might just be overreacting to the situation. You just don't know. And the problem is, too, that, like, your boss might be that way. But, like, you might have a really, really good job, and so it might be worth dealing with that kind of situation. I mean, it depends on what you really want in life and what your inner barometer really is saying, but you know, your boss is, it's kind of like it's almost like having I don't even know where I was going to go with this, honestly, but your boss is kind of like something you have. It's not something you should be concerned about, how they act, as long as they're getting the job done properly. If they're not, that's a different story. And of course, I'd rather have people have kind bosses, but you know, as long as the job is getting done and this kind of shit, you know, in actuality, we actually have a really, really, really fucking good in society. The ability to work and the ability to have the things that we have is amazing. Like the phone that you're using, or whatever it is you're using to watch this or listen to this episode, on whatever podcast platform you're using, is fucking amazing. And the ability of me to just literally make an episode, make a recording, send it to a podcast platform, and release it as a podcast is fucking amazing. But we have so much good that we see that we don't see. We have so much bad that we see that we don't see the good that we have in life. And so like 95% of our day is taken up by complaints. Oh, this person didn't do what I wanted him to do, or this person is too slow, or this person didn't cook something right, or this person didn't put the dishes in the dishwasher right, or whatever the fuck it is. Like, it's so dumb to worry about stupid shit like this. But that's what we do in society. We get so goddamn stuck on this dumb shit that, like, it's no wonder why society is miserable. It's miserable because we don't know how to actually fucking cope with what we actually have. We don't know how to not trust what our emotions are saying, what our thoughts are saying, when they're under the influence of these emotions. Literally one of the biggest problems. So that's number two, anger/frustration. And there's so many fucking examples of this. Like, so you could be frustrated at somebody, but normally be in a good relationship with this person. But if you just listen to the frustration, or if you are listening to your emotions and your thoughts during this frustration-based moment, you could think that the problem is this relationship and this person is the problem. When really it's not. It's your emotions in the situation. It's you're trusting them implicitly, and you're listening to them implicitly. That's the problem. And that's why you're stuck. And that's why you can't seem to move on. It's fucking crazy. It's so crazy to me how people get so stuck in this shit. Because it's really fucking pointless most of the time. So yeah, like it's fucking craziness. People who get so angry at the smallest fucking things that exist. It's insane. Press WhatsApp now. Life is hard. Pause. Mic off. So yeah, frustration. You can be frustrated with somebody so much that you listen. Like, seriously, people get so triggered by these things. And part of that, too, is that they're fed with it. You know, like, social media feeds them with these triggers. Like, oh, you should be triggered by this and you should be triggered by that. They might not say that necessarily explicitly, but they say it implicitly. But the things they say and the articles they write and stuff like this. And so people read this and they think that everything is offensive and everything is being triggered. Everything is triggering and all this dumb shit. Because society's basically taught them to listen to their... Not even really society. It's actually a mind problem. So necessarily a society thing. I mean, it definitely is. It's something that is affirmed by society in a lot of ways. But it's mostly a mind problem in a lot of ways. Anyways, let's move on here because we don't want to sit here too long with this one. So, God, there's so fucking many emotions we can go into here. And pretty much all emotions apply to this, but I'm just giving you some basic examples, some basic structural understandings of where this can be problematic. Or not necessarily problematic as in like, oh, you shouldn't feel this way, but like problematic is in the sense of like, it might not be as trustworthy as you think, kind of thing. So, third one, is sadness. Oh, I'm sad at this, in some ways, this is actually the most detrimental. Because what will happen is, this one especially creates a sort of permanency behind it. And so, like, your thoughts in this kind of moments might be saying, well, like, oh, I'm such a loser, I'm such a failure, because it implicitly trusts the emotion of sadness. And we basically had this implicit assumption within our minds that says that if an emotion is happening, I must take this emotion seriously. It must mean something for me. It must be happening for a reason. And therefore, I must trust what the emotion is saying. When really, it's just an emotion. It doesn't necessarily happen for a reason. And it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to take the emotion seriously. So the third one is of course, sadness, because it creates an illusion of permanency, in a sense, because what it does is, when the mind is in the mood of sadness, it creates this idea that, like, things will never be the way it was before. That's the deepest levels of, like, depression, right? It's like nothing will ever change again, kind of thing, because of the nature of sadness. It's almost like it tries to create this illusion of permanency by saying, like, oh, this is never going to end, you know, this kind of thing. These are the implicit assumptions within the emotions that you can become aware of, and you can question those assumptions. And you might have thoughts during those moments like, oh, I'm such a loser, I'm such a bad person, or like, I have such a broken brain, or whatever it is. When really what's going on is your emotions are skewing you, pointing you only in one direction, and you're not seeing the entire spectrum. You're not seeing entire life around you. You're only seeing one angle of life. And so, yeah, like your emotions are kind of like these forces that actually sort of mislead you. And I would say 99% of cases, if not more, honestly, they're misleading. They're untrustworthy. You can't trust what emotions are telling you. You can't trust what you're saying in these moments of emotion, because these moments of emotion, if you thought of emotions as kind of like a magnet, it's kind of true. So to give an example of love, like we talked about before, during the emotion of love, the mind in this power of emotion of love is only going to show the positive aspects of this person that you love. It's only going to show the positive aspects of this thing that you love, this cat, this dog, this person, whatever it is. It's not necessarily going to show you the negative aspects as much. Or if it is, you're going to be blocking those out. You're not going to really be seeing those because you're trusting implicitly what the emotion is telling you. Oh, I'm loving this person. It must mean something. I must trust this emotion. No, nope, 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 nope. That's exactly how you end up in the problems you end up in. It's craziness. Anyways. And so, yeah, like your emotions are, I don't know if I'd quite say this, but you can almost make the statement and the argument that whatever your emotions tell you to do, do the opposite thing. I don't know if it's absolutely true, but it's more true than whatever your emotions do, do that thing. You know, this kind of thing. Whatever your emotions tell you to do, do that thing. It's more true than that. And so, yeah, like if your emotions are telling you to do something, if your emotions are telling you something that's true about you or the world or whatever, believe the opposite. it's not actually that wrong, believe it or not, to come to that conclusion. Because your emotions are, like I said, only showing you one. It's like if you were looking at like a map or whatever. Or imagine like a huge field or whatever. And so as an emotion, the emotional magnet is pointing you to like one dead section of the weed of the field or whatever, and that's showing the entire field where everything is like alive and beautiful and flowery and shit like this, and so it shows you this dead section. You're like, oh my god, this field is so dead. What's happening to this field? When really you're only seeing one section of the field. That's what your emotions are doing. This is why you cannot trust your emotions. This is why you can't trust what your emotions are telling you. You cannot trust what you're saying to yourself in these moments of emotion, especially in negative emotions, but also positive ones for similar reasons. Because in the positive ones, the opposite happens, where you're only seeing the flowery elements. You're not seeing the dead elements of the field. And so you're going like, oh my God, life is so positive and flowery and things like this. And so people tell you like, oh, you must see the glass half full. Like if you see the glass half empty, you must see it half full. It's like, well, actually, both of you are just plain wrong. The answer is not to be positive or negative, because positive can lie to you and being negative can lie to you. Typically speaking, being negative lies to you more than being positive, but being positive does not come with equal good benefits necessarily, because love's kind of in a positive state. You're kind of in a positive emotional state, but it blocks out the negative things about this person or the world around you. And so if you're blinded by this love, oh God, God help you in that situation if you're dealing with somebody especially who is going to manipulate you in the situation. Oh God, that's going to be so catastrophic. And of course, what's going to happen is you're going to be sad and you're going to blame yourself and you're going to think you're the problem. Or you're going to think that the whole world is evil and is out to get you or whatever it is that your mind is going to tell you in these sad moments. Because that's how your emotions work. And this is I think it comes from a comic strip or something. But it was, the quote is basically like, we have met the enemy, and the enemy is us, right? I'd say that we have met the enemy, and the enemy is emotion. I don't want to say the enemy is necessarily emotion, because it might make you resist emotions, but it is kind of true to say the emotions are enemies. They're not actually telling you the truth. They're telling you your truth, but your truth is wrong and can be wrong and is wrong in a lot of cases. And so is mine. So yeah, that's why I don't use the words your truth, my truth, because those terms confuse people and they confuse you and they make you even more stuck in your dogmas. That's how this works in most cases, I'd say. Or what they can also do is they can also kind of create this like air of like openness, like, oh, your truth is truth and my truth is truth, and like it's all equally valid. It's like, and then because of that, you kind of become too vague and not really be able to discriminate between good ideas and bad ideas and ideas that you should listen to and ideas that you might want to run away from as fast as you can. It's kind of like the gambling song. Like, you got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them. You got to know when to walk away and when to run. Same kind of thing too here in a sense, because like with the world around you, if you had this idea that all opinions are valid, what's going to happen is you're going to be stuck. You're going to be lost and you're not really going to know what the fuck's going on. You're probably going to try and paint everything in a positive light because this is kind of like a new agey idea. And so, yeah, being positive is not the most amazing thing it sounds like either. People tell you this, like, oh, here's the way to be happy. There are 10 things to do to become more happy. No. This is not going to work. Of course, I wouldn't say 10 things to make you more sad either, but that's the problem with emotion. To be truly able to see things correctly is to not necessarily be emotionless, but become able to differentiate or distinguish between self and emotion, truth and emotion, opinion and emotion, and the opposite of what the emotion is. And so, like, for instance, like, differentiate self from emotion, noticing that the emotion is not you. You are not the emotion. The emotion is happening within your body, things like this, right? Distinguishing truth from emotion, your emotion of love sounds amazing, but it might not be all that truthful. You might look around you and realize that this person or whatever it is not as beautiful as you might seem on the inside, you know, things like this. So yeah, it's not about becoming more depressed. It's not about becoming more happy. It's about becoming able to try to see the entire spectrum of positive, negative, whatever that is. That's awareness. That's true awareness. But that's fucking powerful, and it's fucking difficult if you're unable to or unwilling to do this. And most people are, because they want to be stuck in their illusions. Consciously or not, usually unconsciously, because they don't realize what that's doing to themselves, but that's a problem. So yeah, where were we at? Sadness. I kind of went all over the place from there, but like, yeah, sadness, we kind of went into the problems with that already a little bit. So you can play the victim, you can victimize yourself, you can villainize yourself, you can blame others. Blaming others is kind of more of a frustration anger game. Blame yourself is more of a sad thing as well. But you can also do that as a sad person as well. Also, oftentimes, too, what I've noticed as well is that anger is actually covering up something else. Usually speaking, what I've noticed, not always, most of the time, though, what I've noticed is that anger is actually covering up something else, covering up a vulnerable emotion, like sadness or whatever it is, or aloneness or whatever it might be, right? So, for instance, like if you were in a relationship and it went badly for some reason, you could end up in a place of frustration or anger. But really what's happening is that my anger or frustration is covering sadness or vulnerability or not the feeling of not being heard or understood or whatever it is. Especially this, I think this is probably something that's true even for more for like men than for women perhaps, but I think this is absolutely something that is true. And I'd say, I don't know if I'd give an exact number, but like 70 to 80% of anger cases. Yeah. Of course, the emotion of anger is not going to tell you that. It's not going to be like, no, you're wrong. It's going to tell you like, oh, you're wrong. No, I'm not trying to hide my vulnerability. You know, this is how your emotions are trying to defend you. In this way. So, one thing you can kind of think about when it comes to this, which I find kind of interesting and intriguing to kind of contemplate, is that what your emotions are is your ego's attempt to confirm itself within its own mindset. It's trying to affirm itself with emotion. Consciously or unconsciously, this is what it's doing. This is what's happening. And you can become aware of this. So yeah, your emotions are not your friend. People tell you like, oh, your emotions are like your guides and they're pointing you to something. Like if you're feeling something, that must mean something. You must look at that feeling. You must give into it. It must mean something personally to you. You must be able to find out what that is. You must find out what the truth is of this, you know, this kind of thing. Well, I'd say no, that's probably not true. Honestly, I'd say 99% of cases, if not more. I'd even say 100% of cases. Because your emotions are kind of misleading you. Because your emotions are not based on what's true and what's actually happening. It's based on your ego's defense mechanisms. That's what emotions are. So, not to say defense mechanisms always. Like, if it's negative, it's based on your ego defense mechanisms. If it's positive, it's based on your ego affirmations. Like, love is a perfect example of this. Because, like I said before, with love comes the ideal versus the real. Like, the fantasy versus the reality of the situation. Like, say you might be loving somebody. You might be in love with somebody who you might think is a really nice person or whatever, really, really kind or really whatever, only to find out later that actually this person is actually very, very dark and very dangerous or whatever. But because you're in this emotion of love, which is the ego's kind of like affirmation state of mind kind of thing, you are stuck and you're only seeing the positive aspect of this person. You're not seeing the possible problems and downsides, and the other shoe that is going to drop eventually. I don't want to say this because it sounds negative to say this, but like I'd say that like in most, if not all, relationships, unless they're started from an open and honest place, is going to have an other shoe that is going to drop, because most relationships are not based on being open and honest with one another. Like, even romantic relationships are not necessarily based on this as much. There's a lot of expectations that people seem to have from one relationship to another. And this is true for other kinds of relationships as well. Friendships, family, whatever it is. And you can be more, you can notice what's happening there. And this is why when it goes sour. It really goes sour, and you start feeling like, oh my God, why is my life not working? Why are my relationships not happening the way I want them to happen? The reason why is because of this. Because you trusted your emotions and you listened to your emotions. Bad decision. Very, very, very bad idea. Always a bad idea to listen to your emotions and trust in what they're telling you. Because your emotions are not telling you the truth. They're telling you something different. I'm still trying to find out what that is exactly. But like for negative emotions, they're an ego's defense mechanism. So like a boss might have said something to you. Maybe he said it because it's actually true, but you get angry about that because your ego doesn't actually want you to hear the truth, because it would actually humble the ego. And so you get angry about this thing, and you're saying like, oh, my boss is an asshole, and he's saying all these things about me that is just not true. And like, oh my God, what an asshole. I'm not saying that this is going to be always true, but typically speaking, one way or another, your ego in these negative emotions is defending itself, in anger especially. With sadness and other things like this, it's a bit different. There's more going on here that I'm just not real sure yet about. But yeah, like this is what's happening. This is what your emotions are doing. And so yeah, your emotions are not showing you the truth. They're showing you what the ego is engaged in, basically. You can't trust your emotions. And so this is why distancing yourself from emotions is so fucking powerful. It's the most fucking powerful thing you ever learn how to do, actually. If you can learn how to separate yourself from emotions, that's like the first step to real awareness, to true awareness. I don't really like to use the words true anything, but really what I find is that it really has kind of led to what you call true awareness, or what you could use the word expansive awareness or total awareness or something like this. Basically, where what emotions are showing you is only one part of the spectrum of reality. Awareness is able to show you, once it's separated from emotions, all of reality, regardless of the emotion. That's the power of this. And once you're able to see that, the emotions don't really have the same effect. They might still happen, and they might still affect you sometimes. But really, it's really fucking powerful to just not let them affect you in this way. But it basically means going counter to what 99% of people tell you to do implicitly. This is what most people are implicitly telling you to do, showing you how to do based on their actions, based on their words, based on what they say, and things like this. And so, yeah, you might think the answer is actually to do the opposite and to actually trust your emotions. And if you really want to do that, if you think that's the answer, then go ahead. I'm not going to say that I didn't warn you, but, you know, you can go ahead and ruin your life again and again and again, if that's what you want to do. It's your life to ruin. But one day you're going to come back to this episode. Well, I wouldn't say that necessarily is going to be true, but like, if you are one of those few, one day what's going to happen is you're going to come back to this knowledge, this episode, or maybe this knowledge in a different kind of form. You're going to be like, oh my God. You know, what David was saying was actually true. Right? So, I could probably go on and on and on and on about this. But I think I want to end all of this here for now. And I wanted to say this off. To Anchor, to be released, or to Spotify for podcasters, to be released as an episode. And I will talk to you on the next one.